Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We remind you, it is football preseason. Kind of officially, unofficially gets going today with minicamp. Football in shorts at Heinz Field. There will be football men, Chris.
Yes.
Running around Heinz Field. Football men running around Heinz Field. I'm excited about this. It's the preseason. Jim Colony will be there. He's going to stop in here before he heads down there. That'll be exciting. He'll tell us what he can report, what he can't report, what he sees, what he's allowed to tell us that he
sees. He'll be sure to tell us the stuff he can't report.
Yes, what he puts into his memory bank, what he's supposed to just put into his memory bank, but then he says on the air in a show later today. All of that Jim Colony will bring us. And I've thought about this as we're brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repair. What did we learn from last offseason? Now, it was forced upon us last offseason. Nobody did this because they wanted to. They did it because they had to, both in life and in sports and in all things. So, in football last year at this time, we were thinking about, wow, there's this draft pick, and they didn't have a first-round pick. They had a second one, and we'll see what this guy looks like, and it's going to be pretty interesting. I wonder if he'll be a good receiver in Claypool, and he'll never get to go to St. Vincent, and there's a different restructured sort of run-up to the season, and I hope they play, and what are the protocols going to be? And so, long story short, it was very constricted. It was very restricted, and it really wasn't a preseason. But the Pittsburgh Steelers then, when the season began, on time, mind you, they ripped off to an 11-0 start. They just kept winning and winning and winning. And they did it virtually, not the games, because you can't play a virtual football game that really counts, but they did it. The thing about it, though, all the other teams went through that.
Right.
They just kind of maybe did it better in the run-up. But what can they pull from that, I guess, to maybe apply to now? Can you go a less is more and still have success? Or is this right back to the way the training camp and right back to the way that the preseason was done, and that's how you have to get results?
I think the reason it worked for them when everybody was on a level playing field last year, as far as preparation goes, was because it was such a veteran group. I mean, yeah, Claypool had a very important contribution on the offensive side of the ball, but for the most part, you had guys contributing who had been in the system for a while. You didn't have any major coaching changes, right? Everything was pretty status quo, which probably made it that much easier to work virtually through the pandemic and then have sort of a scaled back training camp at Heinz Field and no preseason games.
Right.
And a veteran team. And I remember talking about this last summer. A veteran team was just primed to get off to a good start. We certainly didn't expect 11-0 kind of start, but a better start than a team that was infusing new coaches and rookies and trying to do it all virtually through a screen. So that's why I think, I don't know if there's much, Colin, that I can take from last summer and apply to this year's team.
All right.
Because of the new offensive coordinator, the rookies that'll be in important roles. And I think there's too many adjustments that need to be made.
Take the team out of it. Let's take the team out of it. Okay. Let's look at it holistically from a league standpoint. Do we need this long and extensive and involved and elongated process to get ready to play football? Because I think about that, as excited as I am. And look, one of the networks, one of the local affiliates, if not all of them, if not more than one, will have a helicopter in the air today. They will have one, and you will see football men running out on that football field.
There will be stand-ups done from outside Heinz Field for the afternoon news, I'm sure.
Maybe the maybe we will see somebody this morning out there. This is a big deal, but it's June 15th. As much as I love it, it's June 15th. There are peewee programs that aren't even thinking about starting yet that haven't handed out their program, and baseball for some people are done if you didn't make all the all-star teams. You know what I mean? In high school football, some of their games will start before the Steeler games, and they haven't even started practice. Do we really need this long and involved process? And can we get the same results? And can we get the sharpness of play? I've wondered that. Look, I don't want football taken away, but is there overkill?
I used to think we were headed down that path as far as the offseason preparation
Go with
goes.
It, because I think I agree with you here.
But I think because of the way training camp is executed now, and really the Steelers are one of the few teams that still go away to training camp. Mm-hmm. Everybody else does it in their facility. Or, you know, I want to say 26 or 27 teams around the league do it that way now, like a standard practice, and guys sleep in their own beds. But because of the way training camp is executed now, I think this little three-day mini camp is just as important, if not more important than ever. And that's piggybacks off the thoughts I had about OTAs a few weeks ago over the course of the last couple of weeks, not just because there's a new offensive coordinator, not just because you're changing that system, not just because of Najee Harris and maybe a rookie starting center and all that kind of stuff. That's part of it. But I think it's because you do scale back at training camp. They don't have two-a-days anymore. You don't go full pads that often. So the more prep work you can do with football men in shorts, like we talked about.
Smaller segments over a longer period of time rather than cram sessions that are tighter and in a smaller window is
Absolutely.
What we're saying here.
Yes. Rather than going to St. Vincent and beating the hell out of guys for 5 weeks and then asking them to play four or five preseason games and play most of them if they were starters. And I'm going back to like the early 90s now for that kind of system. But that's the way it used to be. That's just antiquated now. You want to keep guys fresh, and the preparation, you're going to physically go through some things, but it's going to be mental as much as anything. But you've got to have that physical sort of muscle memory activity to get to run through the paces.
Yeah, and also, did these guys, and everybody does for the most part, one would think, but did these guys stay in shape in the offseason? We just want to get our eyeballs on these guys in there for this camp. But yeah, I part of me thought, well, it's too much and do we need all this? But then again, it is so stretched out at this point.
They're going to finish up on Thursday and they don't have to be back to Western PA if they don't live here or back to to the team facility or on a practice field at St. Vincent until for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, then they disappear for 6 weeks. Most of them, a lot of them, stick around, or they will go straight to one of those power plants, whether it's in Phoenix or Florida or somewhere, and just be really entrenched with a trainer and just do nothing but football-related activity in terms of getting in shape for football-related activity. But you're right. And the more I think about it, I like this. I like this dropping in and then kind of disappearing, then coming back and then getting ready to report at St. Vincent with your big stereo and your window fan and your big car.
I wonder
if
anybody
else
has a big entrance this year.
Bins.
You think?
Yes.
I think he still brings the heat on the entrance?
Bins. What if Ben shows up with a cardboard cutout of Coach Randy? That would set it off.
What if he comes in dressed like John Wayne, literally the old cowboy?
All right, Twitter poll before the hour is out. Right now, though, I'm driving home yesterday, and people know if they've listened to the show, my route home, I go from here to, I live right by North Park, so I go from here, and I go 28 to 8, and you go down Green Tree Hill, you get through the tunnel, you wiggle around, and it's never lost to me how beautiful that is. The city pops out at you, I'm wiggling around, I looked down at PNC Park, and I see the Mazeroski statue. Right? Because it was a day I wanted to get home yesterday. I didn't know if it was going to rain or not, what the plans were. And I think, all right, I start thinking about statues. I think about weird things. It's like I smoke a bunch of weed, but I don't. You know, honestly. That's how my brain works. So I start thinking. I say, there's the Mazeroski statue, and then there's the Clemente statue and the Stargell statue. But you could see the Mazeroski one. And if there's nobody on that road that kind of leads down, you know, it's a Mazeroski way, I guess it is. It just sits right at the end of there, and it welcomes you. It welcomes the.
You got a clear view of it.
Yeah. And I did yesterday, and I got to thinking, I'm like, do we have enough statues? Do we have not enough? Do we have too many? And then one really hit me, and I've written about this before and thought about it before, but it's forced me to rehash. Chuck Knoll should definitely have a statue in Pittsburgh. That's the one person I think that is glaringly missing. And here's why. And I don't think about the now.
Okay.
Think about when he retired and think about when he was done. Don't think about the now. Don't think about Belichick. Okay. Think about when Knoll was done, what he had accomplished relative to everyone else.
Or even when he was at the peak of his powers, you know.
Correct.
Think about, I don't know, the spring of 1980, for example, after four Super Bowls.
It was him
six
and
years.
Walsh.
And Walsh
Not
wasn't even really there yet. Yeah. So, no. You know, it's a good question why there isn't one, I guess. But it feels like...
Like, I think there's a couple people. Like, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I just, one more kind of footnote on Chuck Knoll specifically is that it feels like for anybody under the age of 35, I don't know if Chuck Knoll resonates with that age Steelers
fan. Do they
know
Willie Stargell?
As well as the players on that team.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think, because there, whether it's because there isn't that statue, whether it's because the legend of the Super Steelers of the 70s was built around the defense and Bradshaw and the receivers and Franco, all that. I don't know, but it doesn't seem to resonate the same, I don't think, with younger generations.
Well, his
of Steelers
personality
fans.
Lends to that, too.
Exactly.
He never would have wanted one.
He would. I wonder if he told somebody, to be quite honest, before he left, I do not build a statue of me.
Even if I'm dead and gone, whatever, right. I don't want one.
He would be that kind of person to say, please don't do that.
Because there is one of the Chief, and I think it is perfect, okay? And you walk around down there, the Mr. Rogers statue mm-hmm. is perfect. The, you know, the Mazeroski statue in A Moment of Joy is great. Clemente, same way. Lemieux, it leaves a lot to be desired, but I can understand it. You need a statue of Lemieux, and it's great. I would have liked him triumphantly to be lifting the Stanley Cup alone, like he lifts our city and like he lifted the franchise and all of that. Like, I think that would have been better, but you need a Lemieux statue. Stargell, again, Rooney, Mr. Rogers. People can talk about the players, and I think Joe Green is above the rest of them. Then there's everybody else. He's the greatest Steeler mm-hmm. that there is. But if you do one, you've got to do them all. Chuck Knoll sort of led everybody. You know, I do think there should be a Jonas Salk statue in the city as well.
Sure.
Like, I've often said that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no question. People can say, well, Warhol, but Warhol hated Pittsburgh. He never came back. Screw him.
He's got a whole museum.
Right. There's that. but for Chuck Knoll, it just seems like a glaring void that, again, take Belichick out of it because you have to take in what they were when they were doing it or just after they retired. He didn't have a whole lot of peers, maybe two or three in football history.
I mean, at that point,
Lambeau,
you looked at Lombardi and then Landry and Knoll. And that was really it. I mean, for the Super Bowl era, that was it. Those were the guys because those were the dynasties. I really honestly wonder, the more I think about it and the
it's
more we talk
be.
It out, that Chuck Knoll didn't say to somebody, you know, listen, please do not build a statue of me. It's the last thing I want. If you want to do whatever else you want to do, but don't build a statue. You want to name the practice field at St. Vincent after me? Fine, whatever. Do that if you really want. Don't build a statue of me, please. Because he was that unassuming and really believed that a man's legacy should not be based solely on what he did on the football field.
We don't need one, per se. We don't need any statues. You know, they're just sort of memorials and things that were not even memorials because they have built one. Mazeroski is still alive, mm-hmm. and there's a Mazeroski statue. They're commemorative pieces and installments to have you remember things or people or both, events and people. But if there was one, there'd be no one who would complain.
And who's the next Pittsburgh, we'll limit it to sports.
Keep Brian Hayes.
Next Pittsburgh athlete who gets a statue built of them.
Sid.
You think?
Well, I would think it would probably be, I'll tell you what, you know, if it wasn't for the motorcycle wreck and everything and all the stuff off the, Roethlisberger was headed there early in his career.
Yeah. If he had kept his nose clean off the
he
field
was
for
headed
those
there
years,
early in his career.
I think he still might get one.
You think? Joe Green doesn't have one.
Right. Roethlisberger ain't getting one if Joe Green doesn't have one. It's Sid, I think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I can't find a way, because of how he's comported himself off the field, mm-hmm. what he's done for people, or off the field, off the ice, what he's done, you know, in terms of charity work and how many people he got interested in hockey.
Right.
So there's that. It feels like a no-brainer.
I think you're.
To me.
That makes the most sense to me, too.
You know?
But.
That's probably the next one. There should be a Jonas Salk statue in this town.
That's a great suggestion.
There absolutely should be.
Dennis DeYoung, just sticks in hole, maybe.
Maybe. Perhaps. But, no, I honestly do think there should be a Jonas Salk one. But the Chuck Knoll one is always true. I'm going to ask Jim about this, because Jim covered that last Chuck Knoll
right.
team. I wonder if he really did say, listen, I don't want that. It ain't my style.
Right.
Don't do it.
He just left a note on Dan Rooney's desk that said, I hereby resign my position. By the way, if you ever build a statue, I'll haunt you.
Yes, so there's that. So you don't want haunted.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.